When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is an advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. We all carry different stresses, big and small. It could be from work, stuff going on at home, or just from supporting a football team you flatter to deceive, and as the bedsheets have always said, let us down. We often bottle up these stresses and try and keep a lid on them, but when you do that, it can start to affect you negatively. That's where therapy comes in. It gives you a place to get these things off your chest, get down to root cause, and figure out how to work through what's weighing you down. Therapy is there to help develop positive coping skills. It's not just for people who have experienced major trauma. It's about empowering you to be the best version of yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not look and give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners can get 10% off their first month using the code betterhelp.com/wanderers. That's betterhelp.com/wanderers. Let's get back to the show. Hello and welcome everyone to today's episode of Wolves Fancast. Joining me today, I've got Tom Gibson, Tom Calvert and Dean. Fellas, it's finally here. It feels like a lifetime since this game was, well, semi-confirmed, I guess, before we even played Brentford. But the wait has been somewhat exhausting, hasn't it, guys?
Yes.
Still another 3 days.
Yeah. This week's been such a bizarre week, particularly, I think, because we played on Monday as well. That hasn't helped, has it? But of course, guys, we're going to be talking about the West Brom game at the weekend. I know we've kind of talked about bits and pieces in the shows recently, but I mean, is it easy to say that this is Gary O'Neill's biggest game of his time at Wolves so far?
100%. Yeah. It's just huge that this game. Like you speak to anyone. I was listening to the review pod when they had the American guy on, and it's just trying to anyone that's not from here. It's so hard to articulate what it actually means because it depends on where you grew up. Like I'm from Tipton, so it was very split 50-50 on West Brom and Wolves. And you go to school, and it's what everyone talks about. Even now, I've got people I haven't spoke to since school messaging me, calling me a dingle and, oh, you doghead, we're going to beat you and all this stuff. And it's more than football. There's just so much in this game. It's massive.
I went on the Anfield Wrap yesterday. And again, explaining it to another football fan, you know, for guys at Anfield Wrap, Neil knows his stuff about football, but trying to like genuinely articulate like the intensity of this derby, and he made a really good point that for this fairly well-known derby, we don't actually play each other all that often.
No.
But I think that adds to it, doesn't it?
It seems that way in like the recent past, doesn't it? But then again, when I was a kid, I remember it happening all the time.
Yeah,
it's just because we were all in the same league. But like the last, you know. What, 7 years or so? I mean, COVID, are we counting that really?
I was going to say
we won't because we didn't beat them. But, you know, no fans. It's not the same, is it? You know, the derby is all about atmosphere and, you know, the stuff that goes before it, stuff that goes after it and all that goes on, you know, between the fans in the ground. And, you know, COVID, you know, stripped us of that, unfortunately, the last time that it came around. So, this is it for the first time in a long time.
I'm excited for it. And say, like, I think particularly for Gary O'Neill, this is the biggest game for Wolves so far this season. And in a season where we're going to end up mid-table thereabouts, and the last, you know, run of league games aren't necessarily going to be all that defining. Most likely, this is a genuine opportunity for him to have something to hang his hat on.
Yeah, well, I think when you look at the teams that are actually left in the rounds, I think if we get past West Brom, you've got a good chance to go in on a decent run. But I think in terms of, it's definitely the biggest game that he's had under us. It could be the biggest game that he's had as a manager, really, from his time at Bournemouth as well. So it could really be the biggest game that he's ever managed so far.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like Bournemouth particularly have a local derby in general, is it? You know, it, and they wouldn't have really had one in Premier League. You know, you're talking what, Southampton? You know, not exactly. You know,
they're not big fan bases either, are they? Really?
No.
I mean, like, so like Newcastle, Sunderland, you know, they're huge fan bases. So you can, you know, it's a massive derby. But when you get teams that get like 10,000 a week and they take about 1,000 when they're away, it's not proper. It's not a derby, yeah. Derby, is it? Like we know it at least. You know, we could have sold out the Hawthorns on our own, you know, just as an away contingent, you know. So that's what you need to know about what we think of the game.
Yeah, I mean, like, that sounds a bit odd with their ticketing stuff, though.
Yeah, very bizarre. Having, like, season tickets, then members must have been to so many games this season, as well as having a membership, and then you have the season tickets plus one.
You see, yeah.
Bizarre, wouldn't you?
Then all of a sudden, 6 hours later, it was sold out.
Yeah, a bit strange. It's the Baggies. Are you surprised that are a bit strange on the way they do things?
Yeah, very true. I mean, like, it was very fun reading the comments on some of those Twitter threads about accessing it, because it did make me feel better about Wolves' own ticketing system not being, you know, that great at the moment, to be honest, if anyone's had to experience it. And I mean, I know I kind of joked about, you know, it's Gary O'Neill's biggest game for him. I mean, is this Wolves' biggest game since, I was trying to put a date on it, Europa League maybe? Or is that like putting too high a price on a fourth round game? Because I think, obviously, a derby game is a big game, kind of regardless. We've had a couple of years that have been a bit bang average for Wolves anyway. And I was trying to think of a game that has had this much build-up momentum.
Mm.
I think because we've not literally been in like a winner-takes-all type game, you know, where it's like we need to win to stay up, or we need to win to go up, or, you know, there's something huge resting on it. I think you probably, Europa quarter-final is probably the one that sprung to mind for me, or Watford, yeah, exactly right. Mm. Yeah, mm. Yeah, because those are games where there's like some huge result, you know, hinging on it, basically.
Yeah.
And you could say the United quarter-final before the Watford one. But yeah, because we haven't had, like you said, because we've been a sort of mid-table, you know, mediocrity for the last few years, I think, you know, there's not been like one massive league game, really, which you can hang your hat on.
Now, so even trying to think of like even a league game against Villa. And I don't know, even let's say the atmosphere versus, you know, the atmosphere when beating 3-2. Maybe, but I guess like the nearest I can think of in terms of that anticipation, yeah, potentially Europa League, potentially, I mean, the semi-finals, somewhat different being at Wembley, but the build-up for the quarter-finals as well against Man United, and, you know, we're starting to go back a wee bit to kind of really understand the, you know, the impact of this game.
Yeah, it's just, it's so hard to even put words, because in a footballing sense, you probably, the Sevilla and the Watford probably did mean more, because this is just a fourth round FA Cup tie. But when you factor in who it's against, it just makes it, it's more, like I've already said, it's more than that football. It's not just a football match. It's the whole thing for the whole community into it. And it's everything that, it's all the bells and whistles and the circus that follows a Black Country derby, which, like, it's just mad how much it gets in you. Like, I couldn't have cared less about Brighton. I just wasn't. If we'd have lost that game 3-0, I wouldn't have cared less. I was already on to this one. Like, yeah. I just wasn't fussed. I've not spoken to anyone about Brighton. It's always been this game. Like, oh, what time are we going uptown on Saturday and Sunday? How are we getting there? All that kind of stuff. It is just
a big match. That Brighton game was so surreal, though, because it was just like, it wasn't even like a warm-up act. It was just like something to get at, like almost just to, you know, keep you interested in football.
Yeah. To, even the players game. Needed to be kept interested. That's why they had to wear those glasses, the dialogue. Yeah.
That was bizarre. Like, when I saw, I was like, oh, that's interesting. It's like, so how they're staying awake is shining bright lights into their eyes. I mean, if it works, it works. Don't get me wrong, but I don't know. It's fascinating, and you know, we had great big thanks to everyone who's tuning in live on YouTube, of course. And we had a comment, and it's similar to what you were saying, Tom G. That, you know, it's easy to forget that it's an FA Cup game, and you know, there's potential for a fifth round draw, and you look at some of the teams that are left in it, and the fact that Wolves are a Premier League side, and you know, there is that potential to kind of go a little bit further, especially, you know, like the Spurs and Man City playing each other, and you know, two teams who be beaten this season as well. It's kind of hard not to get your hopes up in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Chelsea, Villa too. I mean, that's two big teams. You know, that's two people who could easily, you know, make it to the latter stages. So, you know, you get a favourable draw. You know, similar to what we had when we, you know, we had the, you know, the run that we had last time. Although saying that, we did play, you know, Liverpool and played United, didn't we? But in between it, you had a couple of low league teams, which, you know, which we were able to bring and sort of brush aside. So, you know, you could get one of those in the fifth round, and then you're back to the United scenario, aren't you, in the quarter final that we had last time. And I mean, that as an atmosphere as a game was probably the best I've been, one of the best I've been to. It's incredible. So, you know, if we could recreate that, I'd be loving it.
Mm. Definitely. So I think it's going to be a really interesting weekend. And the fact, probably need to talk about the fact that it's being played at 11:45 on a Sunday morning.
Yeah, they won't need the daylight glasses then will they?
No, I'm going to need ones which you could wake them up, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, just bonkers. And you know, I'll try to like think back to, like, you know, this is a fixture full of history, both on and off the pitch. And I was trying to think of, you know, different things that have happened on this game. And, you know, for the one that I don't know why this springs to mind as the most significant thing for me, but Jez Moxey with the Pie and Pipe Gate. Just absolute folklore stuff in terms of a response.
It's Wolves heritage.
It's mad, isn't it? I wonder if he was behind the Sunderland doing it for Newcastle, so he didn't look like such a pleb for what he did with us, to be honest, because that's the only thing I could think of that even comes close to what he did for that.
Yeah.
It was an absolute joke, wasn't it? So
I remember at the time, you know, just when you sort of said, yeah, we have given up the seats, but in exchange, we're going to give you... And it's just, it's easy to be a laughing stock if you're not careful with your local rival. And look, we can beat over Albion with a stick over a lot of things, you know, from their boiler mascot to the Tesco carrier bag kits, and they'll do the same to us, won't they? Like, you know, being realistic, you know, you get the bizarre custard bowl shouts, you'll get the Division One rejects in tatty orange shirts. The Wolves 5-1 with it, whatever. And, like, I'm all for it. I'll be honest for you. I don't care how school ground it is.
I think that builds it up better because there's so much bragging rights. And, you know, with your local Rovers, you're always going to have that type of banter. And, you know, you're going to... We give it them, they give it back. But I think that's all part and parcel with it, really. I think it builds it up. It makes it better, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. And it has built it up. And, you know, I think, you know, it, you get it played out on social media, don't you? So to speak. And I think it's going to be interesting how it plays out on the pitch. Because, you know, let's talk Wolves to start with. Because, frankly, we know more about them than we do about, you know, a second division team. But we are a team who is looking really good at the moment. And that Brighton game, yeah, it did feel like a bit of a warm-up to kind of keep them all ticking over. But it's easy to forget that we're really good in that game for large aspects of it. And not just, you know, putting men behind the ball, but, you know, we're looking really good at the moment, fellas.
Yeah, it looked really good. And to put... And it was against the team in blue and white stripes, Stu.
Exactly.
We didn't lose against, so that's always a positive. But there's a lot going well in this team, and we look like a very competent mid to lower top half Premier League top side. So if you take West Brom out of it, and it was against, I don't know, somebody that's a bit like a Sunderland, for example, same as Newcastle, you'd fully back yourself. There's no reason for us to not go there and be like, you know, we're going to win this and we're going to win this comfortably. But then there's that little niggle in the back of your head that it's, oh, it's West Brom. We haven't won there for so long and all this kind of stuff. But Brighton, there was so much good stuff to see there. And considering how good a team Brighton are, if we play our game, there's nothing to stop us, really. There's nothing on their team that's scary.
I think that I liked what Gary O'Neill said in his press conference where he was saying we just... The players are going to understand how much it means, but we're going to play our own game as it is any other game, basically play the game, not the occasion. And I think that's the right way to go about it, really, because if we go there to try and play the occasion, derby games are very different. I mean, I'm pretty sure we're unbeaten in our last six, but I've always said it, derby games are completely different games. On paper, we should beat them by a mile, but it just depends what happens on the day.
Yeah, I mean, I when I was speaking about the game yesterday with Anfield Rap, and, you know, said something very similar, actually. It's like, it's going to be a harder game in a way. Like, what we need it to be is a bit blood and thunder, because that's when actually Wolves' strengths are going to showcase more, because we're not going to get frustrated that we'll try and break down, you know, two banks of four. Yeah, there's... The way I look at it is like, at some point on Sunday, Pedro Neto is going to get hacked. Like, that, you know, it's inevitable, isn't it? That he's all Mateus Cunha are going to get chopped down on the half turn. You know, it's going to be a solid yellow card. There's going to be handbags. There's going to be, you know, screaming and shouting and fists in the crowd. But it's going to happen. But what Wolves will need to do is keep doing that, because the chances of them being able to stop them more than once, and, you know, them going in for a tackle and just committing too early or whatever, and then all of a sudden Pedro Neto's got 40 yards of grass in front of him, that's what Wolves want.
Yeah.
What we don't want is for, almost, you say, like West Brom to play the game and not the occasion, and go, actually, you know what, we are just going to absolutely, yeah, we're at home. We are going to stifle this Wolves team, because they've got the ability, they've got the movement, they've got the ability, at least on the break, if there's space. Let's see what they can do against 10 behind the ball.
Yeah, I agree. I think you almost want it to be that sort of classic cup tie where it's back and forth, because, yeah, you know, if you're both teams are playing the same game, then the team with the best quality in theory should come out. Whereas if one team's, you know, playing low block, sitting behind the ball, and the other team's dropped, like, that's two completely different games. So I think, yeah, you almost want to be playing the same game as your opponent and then relying on your quality. So it might not be as big a disadvantage people think being at the Hawthorns, because it might, I think, maybe their fans might get frustrated. Yeah, it might force them to come on to us a little bit.
Yeah.
Although I did read that since their core brand's taken over, I think they've only lost four games at home under him, which is...
Their home form compared to their away form is a bit bonkers, though. You know, for anyone who doesn't follow the Championship and follow West Brom, which is probably most of our audience, if we're being honest, West Brom are fifth in the table at the moment in the Championship, so in playoffs, so having a decent season, but at home form, as you said, Tom, you know, 30 out of their 45 points have come from home games, you know, compared to the 15 away. It is a slightly worrying statistic, speaking to a couple of West Brom fans this week. They're reliant on their home form an awful lot. So I guess that, you know, they're going to be more than up for this game. But you'd also think that, you know, you're thrown to the melting pot that you say, Tom Gibson, like, you're like, you know, it's a local derby, it's a cup tie. We're an average Premier League team, and I don't mean that disparagingly against Wolves, but we are mid-table. Like, you'd fancy, you know, if you're a Championship top six team, you'd want that as a home tie, wouldn't you? Like, if we're in that position, and we've been in that position as Wolves fans, you know, I'm harking back fucking 20 years at this point, I appreciate, but when we beat Newcastle 3-2 in the FA Cup in 2003, it's a similar set of circumstances, apart from the local derby aspect.
Yeah, it's very, very, very similar for them. Like, I was there then. I was like, that was like one of the first games where I like kind of got bruised shins and stuff from limbs and all that kind of jazz, like a 15-year-old me. But as Danny's put in the comments, it's so easy for it. It's so important for us to score first. If we get the first goal, then you'd like to think they'll fold like a bit of a deck chair, and then we can just capitalise on them having to come and chase us. But it's very similar to that Newcastle game. They'll fancy their chances with it being the local derby. They're pushing for promotion, well, playoffs. So it's just the perfect cup tie all round, really.
Yeah. It frustrates me that it's having to be played at the crack of dawn, you know, before 12 o'clock on a Sunday. And yeah, there's reasons for it, and it's reasons that I don't particularly, you know, like. But the fact it is on telly, I think I genuinely want to be a showcase of how good this Gary Neil team can be. And, you know, I got asked for my prediction or what I wanted from the game. I was like, I want Wolves to win, but I want them to win so convincingly that it derails West Brom in the league. Like, I don't care if it's like a 2-0 job or 5-0. I want it to be so mentally breaking for them that we, you know, we run them quite literally off the park and they end up finishing 8th. I don't think that's too much to ask.
It's a dream scenario.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, back on West Brom a bit, because, you know, there's a few notable names, a few names who have kind of been knocking about for a little bit, most notably, I guess, in terms of their main starting 11 is Jed Wallace, who used to play for Wolves way back when, who's quietly carved out a Championship career for himself.
Yeah, he's you know, you've always got that former player factor. I'm really looking forward to Cunha against Carl Bartley.
Oh, I was going to say, your odds on a yellow card for either of those two tomorrow has got to be high.
Like, I've spoken to a few West Brom fans and they're saying Kipre is having a good season. Furlong's, he's a decent player. I don't know much about Townsend, but they've also got a young lad called Fellows, a young winger that they tend to bring on, who's meant to have a bright future. So there was rumours he may start as a bit of a trump card. But all the Baggies fans I've spoken to they've bigged up Brandon Thomas Asante. They like Yakushlu in the middle. I know we were rumoured with him at one time when he was out in Turkey. There isn't nothing that scares you, is there?
Yeah, he's been linked with a move away in the last like couple of days as well. But, you know, the fact that we got linked to him an awful lot, where it does scream agents getting involved with him, doesn't it? But, you know, one thing I find quite fascinating is, like, and he's going to sound really smug, I don't really care. It's like when you look at, like, Championship teams and you, like, see half the names, you're like, oh, don't know an awful lot about them. It's when you get like Cole Bartley, and like, you know, even like a Jed Wallace, who, yeah, you can't have an understanding of them. It's someone like Alex Mowat, who's a, you know, regular contributor for them. You know, came through at Leeds. He's got a cracker of a goal against us in that 4-3 game, if I remember correctly, and then dropped down to League One for a little bit to Barnsley, I think. And, you know, it's, yeah, you do get some names around and about. But, yeah, you've got the ex-player factor. But there's potentially opportunity for three ex-players to play on Sunday, because, you know, we've talked about Jed Wallace, and it's going to sound harsh when I say I'm a bit surprised that he's managed to, you know, get a career in the Championship. Because he's captained some of, you know, he's captain at West Brom, or at least club captain. You know, he's kind of held his own. Andy Vyman's just gone on there on loan. And, you know, most notably, I guess, the only really major thing he did at Wolves was scoring in the FA Cup in the fourth round. And of course, on our side, we've got Craig Dawson, who played for West Brom for a number of years.
I read today that Andy Vyman's cup tied because when Bristol played West Ham, he played the last 14 minutes.
So that's relief. Relief.
Yeah.
I think, look at the team, like the champ. It's such a Championship team, isn't it? Really.
Yeah.
I mean, I think now that the difference, I think it's been noted in the media as well. Now, I don't think it's a secret. You know, that the gulf in class now between the Premier League and the Championship is huge. It's getting bigger and bigger. If you look at Burnley, they tore that league apart last season, and they've looked dog shit this season. Mm. You got Leicester, who they are really still a Premier League team. You know, I think. You know, they just were in a form that they were in a spiral that they couldn't get out of. And okay, they've lost Maddison and Barnes and a few of those players, but they're still almost a Premier League team, and they're probably going to get the record points total in that league now. So the gulf in quality now is so much more. And I think I can't remember who it was in the group. I'd be interested to know if you guys know when the last time there was this much gulf in class between us being this much better than the Albion, because I can't remember it in my lifetime.
No, not for a long time. And, you know, you're right. It sounds harsh, and this is where we'll end up, where we're driven. But and it's genuinely meant with, like, no disrespect to the likes of Adam. You know, the lineup we've got, you know, going through, it's the team who lost 2-0 to Norwich of the weekend for West Brom. And, you know, I've got nothing against Alex Mowat, Jed Wallace, Adam Reach or Jonathan Swift, but they are all very Championship level players. Like, if you got promoted with that team, you'd go, we need a new centre midfielder, two new wingers and a more attacking midfielder. Yeah, and like, it sounds, you know, it's not to sort of sound too big-headed, but it's like, you know, you put Mario Lemina against in that, and I feel like I'm going to disparage my own players now to mock West Brom a little bit, but like, you could put Joe Hodge in that team, and wouldn't blink. The pressure is on Wolves in that regard, isn't it? But yeah, we're the big boys here, aren't we? I'm looking forward to it, but I'm half scared.
I don't know if it's a good thing, because, like, because of how much the gap is, it's like, you know, on paper and in reality, we are expected to win, but that's why I'm saying derby games are completely different to a normal game.
The only thing that settles me is the fact that we, under O'Neill now, we've got big name players and big personalities who step up for the occasions. Yeah.
There's that nucleus of players. Like you mentioned earlier about snapping Neto. I've got no illusions that Dawson's going to do that to someone as well. He just will go through the back of someone at some point during that game.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Dawson, you have even Totti, like, he's up for it. He wants the scrap. Like, you look across the team now, and like, even like the other day, I know it was quite comedic, but when someone stood up to Neto and Semedo goes and just they're all up for it. And you add Lamina to that, Cunha, like there's an emotionalness to the team. Whereas under the old guard of your Matinhos, your Neveses, they were all very professional with it. Whereas some of these players, like, they are top end players, but they're not scared to do the dirty bit if they need to as well. That leave one in late on purpose, and because they know they can get away with it. And it's just like Matinho was class at that, as like a put his arms up and not getting a bucket. But Lamina would leave a reducer on someone if he knew he'd get away with it.
Yeah, and like it sounds a bit Neanderthal, tribal, whatever you want to call it. You know, I honestly, nothing makes me happier seeing like a Wolves player get fouled or a potential for a flare-up and another teammate just comes storming through to clear it out, clear up the situation. Like, I can't remember which game it was. I want to say it was the first Brentford game. And Tommy Doyle got caught up in something in the middle of the park. And all of a sudden, just João Gomes had the opposition player in the headlock. Yeah.
I was like, that's the Everton game that was.
Yeah. Everton was. I was like, that's what you fucking want. That's what I want to see. And you're like, it's the same with like Lamina, isn't it? Like, you can just see Wolves have got those players who've just got that bit of an edge that they're not going to get pushed around, but they're going to hope they're going to be able to sort of live up to the occasion and not kind of go into hiding.
Yeah.
And I think there's a couple of players I think who are ironically your players who kind of on the periphery of a situation like Sarabia.
Yeah,
you know, someone like that. It'll be interesting to sort of see how
he the last few games he's been getting into a couple of scraps. I've noticed, like when I've been sitting in the North Bank, I've noticed he's been at someone. Especially he was at Mopay quite a lot when Mopay celebrated after the VAR check. He went straight up to him, was like, "Get back to the halfway line, like what you're doing." So it's even those players that you think are really placid, like Gary O'Neill's getting a little tune out of them.
It would be really kind of interesting to see those players step up. I mean, two players I think potentially good to talk about is one is Ryan Aitnori, who is effectively available after, I was going to say, very disappointingly, Algeria disappointingly got knocked out of the FA Cup. There were no tears shed in Wolverhampton for that. But, I mean, if he's available and he isn't too, you know, tired, you've got to start him, right? You just got to put him straight back in, surely.
I think it depends. It depends. Like, you got to think all the travelling like he's done, the heat over there, things like that. When he comes back, is he going to be fit? I'm sure, you know, as Gary O'Neill said, they all understand the game. If he's fit and if he's ready to go and he says he's ready, I'd put him straight in the starting lineup because I think he offers so much on that left side. And I think even though, like, I love Bueno and I love, like, if Totti plays there or Doc plays there, but I just think Aitnori's different class to the people that I'm in that position. So if he's fit and he's ready, get him in 100%.
I don't think I'll start him. I would, but I think he'll be on the bench. I think he'll play the same 11 as Brighton if Sarabia comes through. But I get you, absolutely. The drop off again. The backups are okay, but the quality that Aitnori brings on that side and the balance he brings to the team, the way he can drive the ball up the pitch is just second to none. I also think it'll play on O'Neill's mind that he's got United then on the Thursday and then Chelsea on the Sunday. And there's no way Aitnori will play it starting all those three games. So I think he'll take him out of this one. But to be on the bench and ready if we need him.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'd go with it. I watched that interview with Huang earlier and he was saying that as a technical ability level, Rayan's the best at the club. They asked him a question, who would you have? Whose skill would you have? And he's like, because, yeah, Neto's good and Cunha, because Rayan's the top draw. So he's a special talent. But he's played in a back four for Algeria, which means that he hasn't been bombing up and down as much. So he probably hasn't got through as many miles, but he has paid the 390 minutes on all three. So I think, and also Doc, even though he's not the same, he hasn't really done anything wrong in the last couple of games. I mean, he has this little tendency to pop up in the box now and then. So if it's a set piece or something, and you know, you imagine like the redemption arc for Doc there after, like, you know, I'm quite prone to a joggerty tweet. So like sometimes when that comes across, it'd be a bit of humble pie for me. But at the same time, he's done nothing wrong in the last two games. So to drop him would feel a bit harsh.
Yeah, I'm really curious. The other one who probably deserves a quiet mention, and I think it's maybe not this time round, is do we give Nathan Fraser a run out? The Tiger.
He's too young for it, I think. If off the bench last 10 minutes, Roy the Rover stuff, but at his age, to chuck him into a derby straight away when you've got these experienced pros, I think it's a bit much.
I don't know. I think, like, he's took his chances when he's had his chances with the first team. It's a lot. I think it's more because he's a local lad as well. He definitely understands what this game means. But it's a lot. I think that adds more pressure to him as well. So I think it depends, because Gary O'Neill's come out and said he's... What did he say? He's the most senior?
Yeah.
The only number. He's the only number nine. So,
if he is, then he should be relying on him, I think, if you're going to say he's the most senior striker. But it's a lot of pressure. But if he feels he could do it, why not? I think it's better if we've got a lead and, like Dean said, you put him on the last 10 minutes, you know, maybe he gets a chance and tucks it away, hopefully. But, yeah, we'll see. But it's a lot of pressure for the kid.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think, you know, I'd love say that the Roy of the Rovers comes on for the last 15 minutes and scores a winner or the equaliser or whatever. But yeah, it almost feels like I'm getting ahead of myself. So I did literally just before we went on air, one of the reasons why we were delayed coming on air is because I went, oh, by the way, guys, I thought we could do a quick quiz. I'm rolling back an old favourite for you guys, which is the Sudden Death Squads from the last time we played West Brom. Now, it was in that COVID year, in case you had forgotten, and it was a 1-1 1-1 draw as well. But my question is, guys, can you name me any and all of the players who played in that game?
Fabio.
Okay, oh, hang on,
he's gone early there.
I was gonna say,
we've gone there, Tom.
We'll go youngest first. So yeah, Fabio Silva started for game for Wolves, yeah. Who wants to go next? Which is my screen. We'll go Dean next because it will go downwards nicely on me.
Let's go for a hard one. Let's go Semi Ajoyi.
I was like, he didn't play for Wolves, did he? Yes, he did. Yes, he played at the back, yeah.
So Cody?
Yep. And back to Gibson.
Sam Johnston in goal for Albion.
So I have to score back up. Yep.
Rui Patricio.
Yeah.
Vitinha played in this game, I think.
He did.
Yeah.
Morgan Gibbs-White. Sure he come a sub.
He came on as a sub, yes.
Yeah, there's that one tackle of him putting that big slide in on someone. That's gone viral. Yeah. My man Nelson Semedo.
Yeah.
Romain Saiss.
Yes.
Neves.
Yeah.
Willy Bolly.
He did not play.
No.
Who was
the other centre back? Oh, I know the centre back was, didn't
he? Wow.
Matinho?
Nope. No Matinho.
Wow.
I don't know why he wasn't playing, but he wasn't even in the squad.
He wasn't in the squad.
Injured or suspended, surely.
Yeah.
Adama. So,
Adama also is not even in the squad. Oh, no, no, I'll tell you what. No, he did start. What I'm talking about. Sorry, I'm looking at completely wrong. You know what? I was looking at the subs. I was like, ah. You know, Firpo, he didn't come on, but Theo Corbueno was on the bench, but didn't come on. But yeah, Adama started.
Is that Tom wins now? Yeah? Well, we've got to carry on.
I think so. Yeah, I think Tom actually would it. Right, should we go through the actual. Do you want to hear the starting lineups?
Don could have played, wouldn't
he? Don could have been centre back, wouldn't he?
Well, awesome. I was going to say, according to the good people at the BBC, it was actually lined up as a 4-2-3-1.
Otazewi?
Wow. Right, like, when I saw this, part of me was like, okay, we played him 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, or whatever. You'll probably get it. And then when I saw the actual lineup, which was Rui Patricio in goal, Semedo, Cody, Sace, and Aitnori as a back four, Duncan Neves holding with Owen Otazewi, Vitinha, and Adama Traore backing up Fabio Silva up front.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I mean, even West Brom, for West Brom, obviously, they got, you know, West Brom were relegated that season, but, you know, their team of Johnson, J.E. Bartley, who still playing, probably play tomorrow, O'Shea, Furlong again, Gallagher, as in Sam Gallagher, Yuluku, Ainsley Maitland-Niles, who I nearly said, oh, former Wolves player, Ainsley Maitland-Niles. But it's like, no, never signed for us to do in the end. But like, in my head, though, he played for Wolves. Andros Townsend, Pereira, and Diagne up front. So, yeah, like, going back to that game, wild, genuinely wild in my head, because I just don't. I remember Fabio Silva's goal.
Two,
but
he scored against them twice.
Yeah,
generational talent.
The best thing he ever done.
I was gonna say he seems to have hit the heights at Rangers, hasn't he?
I watched it yesterday. The Rangers. Well, I watched the first six. Watched till he came off, and I've never known someone play for Rangers in such a kind of possession dominated team and still look isolated. Like it just seems he was trying to play, and no one was on his wavelength. So he's gonna. He'd eat it the ground run a bit quicker there for just for our resale value more than anything.
I was gonna say, I don't know what we're gonna do with him, but you know, like you know, I think we've had a couple of YouTube comments regarding you know, Fabio Silva. Fabio wasn't too long gearing in, and part of me like agrees, and it's gonna be a fascinating story. I think in like 10, 15 years time with Fabio Silva. Because I've got no idea how his career's going to end up. Genuinely, like, it
I don't think he knows that.
No. Like, he could be playing out in Cyprus sort of thing, or he could be, you know, Portugal's number nine in 5 years' time. It's going to be one or the other.
Yeah.
I do feel a little bit... I'm not... You know, he's done. He's done at the Wolves. But I just feel like Wolves have got a lot of time to support.
Yeah.
We've absolutely fucked his career. Like, sideways. Yeah. Like, if he'd have stayed there for a couple of more years or something else. But we absolutely fucked it for him, to be fair. So it's just a terrible move. Like, badly advised with his agent, more than likely. I think we're much to blame. Yeah, it's a weird one, isn't it?
his dad got, like, about 7 mil from that transfer as well as... It was just such a dodgy deal. Like, it was so clear money laundering to keep Porto afloat for some reason or another. But I think with him, if he'd have, like Tom said, if he'd have stayed at Porto a couple more years, he'd never even played for their first team. And you'd give him a £35 million price tag to a Premier League team. Like it was never going to end well. Like it was, it was never going to work. I think he'll end up in La Liga somewhere, but he'll have a decent career. But I don't think he'll set the world alight because he's just too far gone now. He was sold as a generational talent striker, and you watch him, he's better as a second striker. So unless a team's going to play, like when he was at PSV last year, they had Luke de Jong up front. You had Xavi Simons the one side, Fabio the other, and he had Luke de Jong to play off, and that's where he and you had Xavi Simmons doing the little link-ups, which I think the hope at Rangers is even to do that with Todd Cantwell, but it's just a totally different level of football. So I don't know what's going to happen to him.
No, me neither. It just sort of, you know, it's a bit, probably a bit shitty where I was like, oh, he's going to end up in Cyprus. He might be one of those players who, I don't know, like, his career picks up later on, and you know, he says he goes to La Liga, he spends like a couple of years, you know, middling around, and then all of a sudden finds it at the age of 28. And he is still young. He is still, you know, in terms of his footballing career. And part of me hopes that mentally he gets it right in terms of like being able to like pick it up in his career and doesn't kind of let stuff impact him. Because Tom, you're right. Like, it's not his fault he was signed for 35 million. It's not his fault he ended up in a situation where he was playing in a league beyond his ability at that time. You know, it just happened through like really crap circumstances that, you know, he had the perfect opportunity to be understudied to Raul for a couple of years, but then all of a sudden was thrusted into it and was never quite ready, but wasn't always that far away either. So who knows? But right, let's end the show on what I guess is the number one question, is what do you all think the score is going to be? So Tom Gibson, what are we saying?
2-0 Wolves. I'm going to say goal scorers, Cunha and Neto.
Dean, how about you?
4-1. Nice. I've gone 4-1. Cunha will score 2. Then you will get a Dawson header just to rub salt in the wounds a little bit more. And I even reckon that Nelson will score as well.
Ooh. Should have gone 5-1, Dean.
I know, but because I'm giving them something to hang on to, so they can still. Well, it was only 4. Yeah. Just go that way a little bit.
I'll go 3-1. I'll go Cunha brace, and I'll go Bellegarde off the bench.
I had 3-0 in my head. Yeah, similar. I can see Cunha getting on the score. I'm thinking spine of a team. I'm thinking Cunha, Lamina, and Toti Gomez, because he'd love it. I mean, he's in the stand if he scores, isn't he? he's going to be on the ugly rope before you know it.
I've got an aisle seat, so I'll just be doing. You know, you remember that video of Dan when he was at Birmingham and he's running down. He's part of that. That would be me on Sunday running down.
Going to be you. I was going to say that's good. Actually, one final question from the listeners, of course, is where you're going to be watching the game from. So, Dean, you got a ticket, I'm right in thinking?
Yeah, so if it Wetherspoons, first thing in the morning, 8:30, I think we're meeting there. Then jump on the carnage that will be Midland Metro to make our way up, to the small towns from there.
Tom G, how about you?
Pub.
Very nice.
I was watching it in the pub.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go around, mates, and watch you. Not with the missus, who's an Albion fan, who insisted that we watched it together. That was never, ever going to happen. And then she went in a bit of a mood, and I told her, that was never going to happen. I want to watch it with some mates. I don't want to see her for those hours of the day.
And you booked a hotel in preparation for Sunday night in case we lose.
she locked the door. I won't be coming back in the house.
Is that pillows and a duvet on the sofas? Yeah, I'm going to watch it from home, but then I do have to subject my family to me watching a Wolves Albion game, and it's probably not massive film, so I think it's pub with the boys for me. So, but we will be bringing you our thoughts on the game pretty much right afterwards. We're doing our review show on the Sunday night. We'll be tweeting about it as best as we can do, but of course we want to be living in the moment as well as not just being stuck on our phones. But guys, big thanks for everyone who's listened today. Make sure you keep up to date with all things Wolves Fancast at Wolves Fancast, here, there and everywhere. And we will be seeing you on the airwaves on Sunday. So until then, it's goodbye from Tom G. It's goodbye from Dean.
See you later, everyone.
It's goodbye from Tom.
Fuck the Albion. Come on, Wolves.
And it's goodbye from me. See you next time.